Hare Krishna. So we welcome all the devotees who have assembled here for today's lecture on Ramayan. Grateful to the management here for inviting me for speaking on the glories of Sri Ram. So we are going to discuss in the next 3 days from Valmiki Ramayan, the beautiful work composed by the great sage Valmiki. The entire Ramayana is composed of various sections which are known as Kanda. So there is the Bala Kanda, there is the Ayodhya Kanda, there is the Aranya Kanda, then Kishkinda Kanda, Sundar Kanda, Yuddha Kanda and Uttar Kanda. These are the different divisions in which Ramayana is divided. And we will see some of the very important and salient pastimes from various khandas as the time permits. And some very important lessons which we can learn from these various pastimes. So the Balakanda begins with the description of the great sage Valmiki. He is there in his ashram surrounded by his various disciples, and the great sage Shripad Narad Muni visits him. Valmiki Rishi with folded hands request Narad Muni to explain who is the most important influential personality residing on this planet? Who is it who has all of the 6 opulences in full? Who is the most beautiful, most renowned, the strongest, having all intelligence and knowledge? Who is it who can give protection to all the conditioned souls? Who is it who is the husband of the goddess of fortune? Please explain to me, Shripad Narad Muni, who is this personality whom all of us should worship? In response to this question by Valmiki Rishi, Narad Muni gives his reply and he says that, my dear Valmiki, at this time the greatest personality, the supreme personality of Godhead, is residing on this planet, and he is the great Sri Ramachandra. Sri Ramachandra is full of all 6 opulences. He is the husband of the goddess of fortune, Sita Devi. And Sri Ram is the abode of all auspiciousness. He glorifies the Supreme Lord Ram as possessor of all transcendental qualities. Na vidyate yasya na janma karma va na nama rupe guna dosha eva va tathapi loka pyaya sambhavayaya svamayaya tani anukalam richati. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is distinguished from an ordinary conditioned soul. Na vidyate yasya na janma karma va na nama rupe. An ordinary soul has a birth. The Supreme Lord is unborn. He does not have a mundane birth. Na vidyate yasya na janma. You cannot pinpoint a specific time when he comes into existence. He is always existing. Na vidyate yasya na janma karmava. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not have any mundane activity to perform. He does not come from the spiritual world to the material world to earn something. It is not that there is some problem in the spiritual world, so he comes here. He is self-satisfied. Karma is defined by Sridhar Swami as apurnasya nija purtarthe cheshtah iti karma. The conditioned soul is unfulfilled, incomplete, apurna. nijapurtarthe cheshtah. In order to attain completion, when we put in some effort, that activity is known as karma. We feel hungry, we feel thirsty, we are emotionally unfulfilled, and therefore we have various desires. We need the help and support of others outside of us, and therefore we indulge in activities, and that is known as karma. Whereas the Supreme Lord is self-satisfied, and whatever activities he performs is not karma, it is called leela. Therefore, his activities should not be considered as mundane karma. Na vidyate yasya na janma karma va, na nama rupe guna dosha eva va. Nama. Conditioned souls have certain names which have been given to them. And that is manograhyasya vastuno vyavahartam kenapi sanketita shabda iti nama. In order to enable our normal transactions in this world, certain names are given. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears and the names are already existing. For any mundane object of this world, the object is first created, and then a certain word is assigned, and that becomes its name. So first the microphone is created, then in order to identify it, we call it microphone. The mridang is created, and then we call it a certain name to identify it. But Krishna, Ram, all of these names have been eternally existing. And therefore, the names of the Supreme Lord are eternal. And guna dosha evava, the Supreme Personality of God, it has eternal qualities. And these qualities do not change. The qualities of anything in the material world changes, transforms. Rice is good if it is freshly cooked. But if you keep rice lying as it is for 3 days, 4 days, the same rice will become poisonous. It can kill. Therefore, qualities of this material world change. Qualities of people in the material world change. Today someone may be the best friend, tomorrow he becomes an enemy. Today we are very close to someone, tomorrow we are completely estranged. But the Supreme Lord, his qualities do not change. If he is Bhaktavatsal in Satyuga, he remains Bhaktavatsal in Kaliyuga also. He does not decide that I have been Bhaktavatsal for a very long time. Now let me become Asurvatsal for a change. What he was before, he continues. That is the quality of the Supreme Lord. Nanama rupe guna dosha evava. Therefore, although the Supreme Lord has no material qualities, does not have any contact with matter, but still, tathapi loka apyaya sambhavayaya, still he appears in this material world in order to deliver the souls, in order to reciprocate with the souls, in order to uplift them, attract them towards him, and take them back home, back to Godhead. That is the reason why the Supreme Lord appears in this material world, although having no business here. He is not a product of matter. So in this way, Shripad Narad Muni is glorifying the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he says that Sri Ramachandra is the abode of all auspicious qualities, and anyone who comes in contact with him will become attracted. His glories are all attractive, his pastimes are all attractive. And in this way, all the souls must surrender to his lotus feet. Thus glorifying the Supreme Lord Sri Ram, Narad Muni departs from there. And the great sage Valmiki, he decides to go and take a bath. And as he is on his way to the river to take a bath with his disciples, he sees at a distance there is a tree, and a very strange sight he witnesses. A group of cranes, a pair of cranes, are enjoying each other. There is the male and the female. And suddenly, a hunter shoots an arrow, and the arrow pierces the male crane, and he starts crying out, and he's shouting at the top of his voice, about to leave his body, falls down from the top of the tree, down on the ground, withers in pain. And seeing this, the great sage Valmiki, his heart is completely shattered, and he's unable to witness this scene. And at that moment, a curse emanates from his mouth. And he says, Manishad pratishtam tamagva shashvati samah yat kraunch mithuna dekam avadih kam mohitam. O hunter, O cruel hunter, why do you act like this? What business you have to destroy this peaceful life of these two cranes? And because of your cruel nature, you have destroyed their happiness. And because of shooting this arrow, one of them is about to die, and you are responsible for this pain. Ma nishad pratishtam tvam agamah shashvati samah. You should not have acted like this. But because of this cruel act, may you suffer in hell eternally. Shashvati sama yat kraunch mithuna dekam avadih kam mohitam. You have caused so much pain to this pair of cranes. You have separated one partner from the other, and this is very bad. And as soon as he uttered this curse, he was surprised, and Valmiki Rishi started feeling remorse that I am supposed to be self-controlled, I am supposed to be peaceful, and suddenly by seeing this scene I have uttered this curse. This is not good. Why did this curse come out? And as he was thinking and lamenting, one more thought struck him, was that this verse came out in a perfect original Sanskrit meter, which had not been composed before. It was such a perfect poetic meter, even he was surprised. And he called his disciple Bharadwaj and expressed to him, this shloka has come out from great shoka or lamentation. And it seems that this is an indication of something wonderful which is about to come. From lamentation, shoka, has come this poetic expression, shloka. And therefore I am waiting for some higher direction to explain this act of mine. And Valmiki Rishi was meditating. At that moment, Lord Brahma appears. And he explains to Rishi Valmiki that, my dear Valmiki, it is me who inspired you to speak like this, because the time has now come for you to compose the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Ram. Shri Ram, who is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, is filled with divine transcendental attributes, has performed such fantastic transcendental activities. He must be glorified in fantastic, beautiful poetic expression. And in this meter which you have just composed, which will be ultimately the meter in which Ramayana will be composed, and therefore I hereby instruct you to compose in this perfect meter the glories of the Supreme Lord Ram. And therefore do not feel any remorse. It was by my arrangement that this happened. And so Valmiki Rishi was pacified. And after Lord Brahma departed, Valmiki Rishi went into deep trance, envisioned the glories of the Supreme Lord, saw the pastimes of the Lord in front of his eyes, and composed 24,000 verses, which comprise the Ramayana. And then having composed this Ramayana, he felt perfectly satisfied. So this is a very important concept. That although Valmiki was such a great sage, very powerful, intelligent personality, a great scholar, but he would always act in submission to an authority. And only when instructed by Lord Brahma, he decided to act and compose this literature. And therefore, the principle of submission to superior Vaishnavas is very important. One can progress in various ways. Each one is endowed with certain abilities because of his past karma. So one can either progress based on his past life's piety, and one can either progress based on the blessings of Vaishnavas. The fuel of piety ultimately runs out in due course of time as one progresses in this material world. But the fuel which is generated by the blessings of the Vaishnavas, it is inexhaustible. And only by those blessings one can ultimately reach the spiritual world. And therefore, although Valmiki was so intelligent, he was so scholarly, but he did not act independently. He was totally dependent on the direction and mercy of Brahma. Therefore, the tendency in this material world is that given a choice to surrender, one asks the question, why should I surrender? But the real question which is asked by great souls is, how can I surrender? And therefore, Valmiki is just acting as a humble instrument in the hands of Brahmaji and allowing the blessings of the great souls to work through him. And thus, this most fantastic literature, Ramayana, came into being. At this stage, Valmiki desired that this Ramayana should be propagated. So once a great literature has been composed, it must be preserved and propagated. And therefore, Valmiki decided, whom should I teach this most fantastic literature? At that time in his ashram, two very powerful personalities were staying, and they were in fact the sons of Lord Ram, Lava and Kush. So Valmiki taught this beautiful Ramayana to Lava and Kush, taught them all the intricacies, taught them how to recite them, and gave them insight into the pathos of this transcendental literature. Lava and Kush took all of these verses of Ramayana deep within the core of their heart, and they would travel from place to place singing this beautiful meter of Ramayana. Wherever they would go, people would be enchanted. The great sages and kings would give blessings. And in this way, Lord Ramachandra at that time heard about the glories of Lava and Kush. So Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of the first canto purports that the best way to study a literature is hearing and reciting. And therefore, parasparanu kathanam pavanam bhagavat yasha mitaharati mitah tushti nivritta mitha atmana. When Krishna katha is spoken between two parties, the speaker and the hearer, pavanam, it is purifying. Pavanam bhagavat yasha mitharati, and the speaker and the hearer both experience great taste. Mitha tushti, both experience satisfaction. Nivritta mitha atmana, and they experience relief from suffering. So this word mitha means act performed between two parties. And this is also the root word for the word maithun or sex life. And therefore, we need a higher taste to counteract the influence of sex life, maithun. And that is mithaharati mithahatushti. Krishna katha spoken in the assembly of devotees, the speaker and the hearer attain a higher taste by which they can overcome the influence of the lower tastes of sense gratification. And in this way, Love and Kush took this beautiful pastimes of Lord Ram and went right to the palace of Lord Ram, and Lord Ramchandra invites Love and Kush to recite the Ramayana. Lord Ramachandra invites all of his other brothers and explains to them that both of these personalities are endowed with great power. And at that time, Lord Ram does not know that these are my own sons. And he calls all the members of his royal assembly and tells them, let us get absorbed in hearing these pastimes as they are going to be recited by these two transcendental divine personalities. And Lord Ramchandra himself becomes absorbed in hearing these pastimes. Aho aho bhir nakaler vidhuyate sudha sudhara madhuram pade pade mrde mrde chandana chandra shitalam yasho yashoda tanayasya giyate. Srila Rupa Goswami describes, in order to counteract the influence of the heat of Kali Yuga, aho aho bhir nakaler vidhuyate sudha sudhara madhuram pade pade, we need the nectar of Krishna Katha, to counteract the influence of burning sensation within the heart. Mrde mrde chandana chandra shitalam. And this Krishna Katha has a cooling effect like chandan, like sandalwood, and chandra like the moon. Shitalam, it is cooling. And this is the ultimate panacea, the solution for all the problems of this age of Kali. And therefore, this is highly recommended, to become completely absorbed in Krishna Katha. But because there is the influence of the mode of passion and ignorance, we find it very difficult to concentrate on Krishna Katha. And it becomes very difficult to be absorbed in Krishna Katha. I have seen people in local trains in Mumbai, when they are traveling, they become absorbed in newspaper to such an extent that they are oblivious to all the surroundings. And someone is sitting with the newspaper, and even the person sitting in front, he is reading from the other side, the newspaper. And he's totally absorbed. This fellow is absorbed and other person is also reading. And the whole idea is that mundane sound vibration is so attractive, and I've hardly seen anyone sleeping reading newspaper. But many times I ask people, do you read the Gita? I said, yes, when I don't get sleep, I take up the Gita. And one devotee was telling me, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. When I hear Bhagavatam, all the anxieties are finished, and when anxieties are gone, I sit and sleep peacefully while hearing. So Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan one Janmashtami, and Radhanath Maharaj was telling us this story. And the devotees, they had just arranged so many things till the last moment, they were so tired. And at very night after the Abhishek and Aarti was over at 12:30, Prabhupada said, let us start reading from Krishna book on Janmashtami night at 12:30, 1 o'clock. And then the devotees, they just got together and they couldn't break their fast because Prabhupada was sitting there. And then one devotee started reading from Krishna book, first chapter. And then Prabhupada was sitting and completely absorbed with his eyes closed in trance. And the devotee sitting also went into a different kind of trance. And then Prabhupada was just hearing. First chapter was over. And then when the first chapter was over, and thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport, and all the devotees said, Jai Srila Prabhupada. And they felt it's over. And Prabhupada said, next chapter. Prayers by the demigods. Second chapter was over. Prabhupada again said, next chapter. And three chapters went like this. By this time, devotees were sitting and they were falling on each other. Sannyasis, their danda was falling here and there. And then suddenly Prabhupada opened his eyes and he saw this scene like battlefield of Kurukshetra, you know. And then Prabhupada, he just turned to one devotee and said, it seems devotees are tired. So I think we should have prasadam now. And then there was the loudest Jaya Prabhupada after that. And so Maharaj was explaining that for Prabhupada, it didn't make any difference whether it was Janmashtami night, full fasting, 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30 at night, because he was absorbed in Krishna Katha. And that is the only way one can overcome the pangs of suffering in this world. Because one can never find a peaceful situation in this material world, however hard he tries. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this material world is like a salt mine. If you enter a coal mine with a white safari suit, with a white shoes, with a white tie, with a white hat and white gloves and a white suitcase, what are the chances you can come out of the coal mine without even a tinge of black? It's practically impossible. And if you enter into a salt mine with the best sweets, a plate of sweets, and what are the chances that you can come out without touching any of the salt? Impossible. So therefore, this material world is like a mine of misery. We just entered inside. Every atomic particle is filled with potential misery. And therefore, we cannot avoid it. Recently, there was a newspaper report in Times of India front page. We have a very huge skyscraper building next to Chaupati Temple. And from the 15th floor, husband, wife and their child jumped and committed suicide 6 o'clock in the morning. And in the husband's pocket there was a note, "We are fed up with life. We can't face life anymore." And that's why they had committed this suicide. And this was 2005. Interesting fact was, in 1995, 10 years back, from the same building, from the same house, at the same time in the morning, two other people had jumped. And that was the father and the mother of the son. And they had jumped from the building, and in their pocket, the note was, in 1995, "We are fed up with our son and daughter-in-law, and we can't face it anymore. They are torturing us too much." And they had committed this suicide. And exactly 10 years later, the law of karma acted in such a way that the son and the daughter-in-law and the child, they also were killed. Whatever you may try to do in this material world, misery is going to come. And we cannot overcome traumatic situations. And therefore, the only solution is Krishna Katha. And therefore, if you see all of these great literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all of them were born at a time of great crisis, at a time when someone was going through great trauma. Arjuna was going through trauma, Gita was born. Maharaj Parikshit was in a traumatic condition, and the Srimad Bhagavatam came into existence. And therefore, Krishna Katha gives us the opportunity to become absorbed and come to a transcendental platform. And Lord Ram himself is showing by his example, and he invites Lava and Kusha to describe his own glories, not knowing that they are my own sons. So Lava and Kusha begin the description of Ramayana. And the entire Ramayana, as given in Valmiki Ramayana, is a description by Lava and Kusha. And Lord Ram is hearing that, and it was spoken in the courtroom of Ayodhya in front of Lord Ram and all the other members. And that is how Ramayana begins. So Lava and Kusha describe the glories of Ayodhya, and they describe the Dhamma Mahima, that in the province of Kaushal, the great river Sarayu is flowing. And here, the great demigods, they are constantly showering flowers from the air. This land is filled with all transcendental divine attributes. The Gandharvas are engaged in playing beautiful musical instruments, melodious songs. The Apsaras are constantly dancing. This tract of land is not part of the material world. It is a part of the spiritual world. Ayodhya Nagari, from outside and inside, is filled with all wonderful ecstatic phenomena The seasons are all very temperate. The flower gardens are filled with the most beautiful, auspicious flowers. All kinds of birds, they create a very melodious sound, and the whole city is very enchanting. Ayodhya is surrounded and protected by various Maharathi soldiers who are trained to fight with the most advanced, sophisticated weapons. Ayodhya is well protected on all sides with huge catapults and cannons. And here in the midst of the city of Ayodhya, the great king Dasharatha was ruling. The special feature about Dasharatha was not only Dasharatha Maharaj was very powerful in protecting Ayodhya, but all the citizens of Ayodhya loved him so dearly. All the citizens of Ayodhya were perfectly pleased with him. They were willing to dedicate themselves completely to him. And in this way, Maharaj Dasharatha had satisfied all the members of Ayodhya. But Maharaj Dasharatha had one major frustration in his life. Although he was providing everything, he was perfectly satisfied in terms of wealth, opulences, facilities, but he had one frustration, and that was he did not have a son. And that is the nature of this material world, that one may have everything, but there will always be some lingering dissatisfaction. No one in this world can fulfill all desires perfectly at all times, and Maharaj Dasharatha was no exception. And because of this, he was always frustrated. And he was feeling, how can I fulfill this desire of mine? So Srila Prabhupada explains from the pastime of Chitraketu that this is known as Harsha Shoka. Any unfulfilled desire you have is potentially Harsha Shoka. It may be giving you Shoka now, and you may be under illusion thinking that once this unfulfilled desire is fulfilled, I may get Harsha. But no. It may be temporary, and again it will create shoka only. Therefore, the nature of desires is that ultimately they create some kind of misery. And Maharaj Dasharatha was experiencing this misery. But the good thing about Maharaj Dasharatha was when he was experiencing this misery, he decided to take shelter of great souls. And that is the important lesson to learn. That all of us will face experiences of frustration and misery. But in such a state, what do we do? Do we take shelter of material sense enjoyment? Do we take shelter of various types of psychiatrists? Or do we take shelter of devotees? And the psychiatrist business is increasing more and more in Kali Yuga. And the interesting statistic is the maximum suicide rate is among psychiatrists. Because they keep hearing from their patients all the time, I want to commit suicide, I want to commit suicide, I want to commit suicide. Suicide, suicide, suicide. They think, what is this suicide? Let me also try. And they commit suicide. Because they do not have a mechanism by which they can absorb all of these frustrations and the negative vibrations affect them. Therefore, in the past, the difference between modern day phenomena and great kings of the past was, even the greatest kings in the past, they would be in misery, they would be in anxiety, they would be in frustration. Therefore, to think that to have a big palace, good job, lot of money, good family will automatically create solution to my misery is a myth. If that was the case, Dasharatha did not have any eating problems. He didn't have any food problem, he didn't have any shelter problem. As they say, biggest problem is roti, kapda or makan. So Dasharatha did not have any problem of roti, kapda and makan, but still he was in misery, he was suffering. Therefore, it is the nature of the mind. As long as there are unfulfilled desires, there will be misery. And therefore Dasharatha Maharaj was experiencing this. But the good thing was, he approached great souls. He had ministers, he had great sages from whom he could consult. And so at this stage, he consults the sages. And they recommend to him two types of sacrifices. And they say that, they tell Maharaj Dasharath that please perform some sacrifice by which your sinful reactions can be counteracted. So when people experience suffering, they want to approach some higher power. And therefore, typically, there is some sacrifice, some puja, some dana. But you have a choice. Do you want to perform a sacrifice or charity towards a demigod or some concocted power, or to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna? Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That all of us will have some issue to resolve. But Bhagavatam is recommending akama, whether you have no desires, sarva kama, or you have so many desires to fulfill. But in all circumstances, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So that one goes through frustration and misery is not extraordinary. But when one goes through this situation, what one must do? So here it is recommended two things. Consultation. Consultation of great souls. And number two, charity or sacrifice. Give in charity to Krishna. Perform some sacrifice, some yajna. Many years back, there was a very famous news report that Ganesh ji is drinking milk all over the world. And here in London also, you may have witnessed that phenomenon. And all over the world, people were trying to feed Ganesh ji a lot of milk. But what was the mood in feeding milk? It was not that it was unalloyed love for Ganesh ji. They were all giving milk to Ganesh ji, praying, we are giving you milk, and in return, we want rabdi from you in future. That means it's an investment, and we want something in return. In fact, even in Chaupati, we have a Ganesh ji murti right at the entrance. So brahmacharis had put up a ladder and we had climbed on top and trying to see that. And Radhanath Maharaj was taking a round. And he came and he was shocked to see us on top trying to feed Ganesh ji something. He said, what are you doing? What's happening here? And we said, there is a worldwide phenomena happening and, you know, we want to be part of the scene. And, you know. And Maharaj said, 6 times a day, Gopinath is eating and drinking so many things. You don't have faith in that. You want to physically see. So many congregation children are drinking milk. Shiva's child can't drink milk. What's the big deal? You don't have to see things with your eyes. Get down. So most of us got down, but some of us still were not satisfied. We went to the next temple outside, Babulnath temple. Took some more milk. We wanted to actually see. So in times of crisis, our faith is tested. So although we hear so many things, but when things don't go the way we expect, and when we don't get the required output from Krishna, we start thinking whether we should start going somewhere else, you know, just to be on the safe side. Maybe I've taken a great risk by investing everything here, and Krishna is not, you know, giving returns so fast. Maybe he is into a fixed deposit scheme. The returns will come later. So let me try somewhere else where there is easy liquidity. And thinking like that, we start going to astrologers, demigods, this, that. And that's why the faith is tested. So therefore, when one comes to Krishna, Krishna is expecting ananyas chintayanto, ananya bhakti. And that is the difficulty. And that is where our faith is tested. So here Maharaj Dasharath was experiencing this frustration, but he was recommended by all of these sages that you should perform a yajna to please Lord Vishnu. And so he decides to perform two sacrifices. One is the Ashwamedha yajna, and the second was the Putreshti yajna. And through this, a son would be born. So of course it's a long story, but there is a great sage, Rishyashringa. And he, Rishyashringa, was married to Shanta. And Shanta was the daughter of Dasharath. So Dasharath had a daughter. He didn't have a son. But Dasharath had given Shanta in charity to one of his very dear friends. And therefore Rishyashringa was married to her. And so Rishyashringa, He came to Ayodhya and performed this Putreshti Yajna. So in the Ashwamedha Yajna, this horse was sent out in all directions, and then the horse came back, and then Dasharatha's queen Kaushalya was given this sword, and Rishyasringa told her to sever the head of the horse, and then the fat of this horse was fed into the fire, and then Kaushalya was told to inhale the fumes from this fire, and Dasharatha Maharaj was also invited to inhale the fumes by which his sinful reactions would be destroyed. And then the Putreshti Yajna was performed, and as a result of this, a beautiful blackish complexion personality came out of this Yajna, and he was carrying a beautiful golden pot, and this pot was filled with sweet rice, and Rishyasringa divided this sweet rice into various portions. One half of the portion he gave to Kaushalya. One fourth he gave to Sumitra. And one eighth he gave to Kaikeyi. And one eighth still remained, and he gave that again to Sumitra. Of course, he gave this to Dasharatha, and Dasharatha divided this amongst his queens. And the great sage Rishyasringa took leave of Maharaj Dasharatha. Maharaj Dasharatha was very pleased, very satisfied. The queens became pregnant. And then in due course of time, at a very auspicious moment, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates, they decided to appear. At this stage, when the Lord had appeared within the womb of Kaushalya, Brahmaji orders the demigods to assist the Lord in his mission. The demigods, they approach Lord Vishnu and they say that, "My dear Lord, we are being tormented by this Ravan and you have to do something about it." And Lord Vishnu assures them that, "I am going to appear and in due course all of you will be delivered from the influence of Ravana." And Brahmaji, he instructs the demigods to produce various children. And Indra, he produces Vali. Brihaspati gives birth to Tara. Surya gives birth to Sugriva. Vayu gives birth to Hanuman. Varuna gives birth to Sushena. And in this way, 10 million monkeys, bears and langurs, they are born. And they travel all through the planet Earth, taking their positions, ready to assist the Lord in his transcendental mission. Kim Chitramachutatave Tadashesha Bandho Daseshu Ananya Sharaneshu Yadatmasatam Yorochayat Sahamragai Swayamishwaranam Srimat Kirita Tatapidita Padapita. Uddhava is glorifying the Supreme Lord's quality that, "My dear Lord, you are known as Bhakta Vatsal and you are so dear to your devotees. You are willing to go out of your way to please your devotees. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in order to offer obeisances to you, the greatest demigods would come and place the tips of their helmets at your lotus feet." Kim chitram achyuta tavetad ashesha bandho. But you are so simple, you are so dedicated to your devotees, that even though such great powerful demigods were offering obeisances to you, you didn't care for that. And you were traveling along with so many monkey associates through the forests. Now, who in this world would like to be seen in a public place moving with a monkey? Which distinguished personality would like to visit a 5-star hotel with a monkey? Or go to some important meeting with a monkey? Someone with a coat, tie, briefcase, and a monkey with him. Can you imagine such a state? The Supreme Personality of Godhead is associated with monkeys. And he is not embarrassed about it. He is not thinking that what in future people will say, associate of monkeys. So Uddhava is just astounded by this quality of the Lord, that the Lord simply sees act of surrender, act of loyalty, devotion, and whatever species of life one may be in, He is not concerned with that. He is accepting the loving reciprocation and service from souls, even though they are in monkey species, bear species, so many other species. So will he not accept service from those in the human species, irrespective of their birth? So therefore, anyone who thinks that devotional service is based on certain birth in a certain family, he is living in a fool's paradise. So the Supreme Lord, he accepts service from anyone, anytime, irrespective of his background, provided this feeling of love, devotion and surrender is there. And therefore, all of these monkeys, they appear to assist the Lord. And this also shows that the Lord never appears alone. There is a difference between concept of God and absolute truth. Absolute truth means the Supreme Lord along with all of his other energies. Therefore, Mayavadis, they want to cut off Lord from his energies. But Lord means his energies, his associates. Therefore, many people say only Prabhupada, no associates. But Prabhupada means Srila Prabhupada along with his associates, his disciples, his organization, everything comes together. Therefore, we have to know that Krishna means Krishna and his devotees. So one cannot say, I love Radha Gokulananda, but I don't love his associates, his servants, those who are serving him. I can't tolerate them, but I like them. So Lord means Lord and all of the paraphernalia, associates, everything come together. So one cannot say, I like Ram only, but I don't like the Vanar Sena. They jump too much. They create too much difficulty. No, everything comes together. The absolute truth means Supreme Lord and his energies. So before the Lord appears, his associates appear to create the right environment. And therefore, it is described here that the demigods and all of them, they created the right environment for the Lord to appear. And the time is given that on the 9th day of the waxing moon, in the month of Chaitra, the Supreme Lord first appeared from the womb of Kaushalya. And then, immediately after that, Sumitra gave birth to twins and Kaikeyi gave birth to one son. And after a few days, the name-giving ceremony was performed 13 days later by the great sage Vasishtha. And Kaushalya's son was known as Ram. Sumitra's sons were known as Lakshman and Shatrughna. And Kaikeyi's son was known as Bharata. And in this way, the names were given and sanskaras were performed. Kalena snana shauchabhyam sanskare tapase jaya shuddhyanti dana santushtya atmatma shuddhaya. So nine types of purification are given. Kalena, things outside are purified by time. Rocks, rivers, lakes are purified by time. Body is purified by snana. Various articles like vessels are purified by scrubbing. Sanskarai, birth is purified by sanskara, by performing purificatory rites. Tapasa, senses are purified by austerity. Various ingredients like money is purified and dravya is purified by charity and by worship. Flour and other ingredients and food are purified by offering. Worship and charity is the means of purifying dravyas. And santushtya, mind is purified by developing satisfaction. And the soul is purified by Krishna consciousness. So different ways, methods of purification are there. And when the Supreme Lord appears, he also performs this pastime of going through all these samskaras so that we follow in the footsteps. And also try to perform these samskaras in our own lives. So at this stage, the great sage Vishwamitra Muni comes to the palace of Maharaj Dasharath. As Ram, Lakshman, Bharat and Shatrughna grow up and develop all kinds of divine qualities, and they start learning various types of arts and skills from the sages, from their tutors, Vishwamitra Muni enters the palace. Maharaj Dasharatha is very pleased, welcomes Maharaj welcomes Vishwamitra Muni with the question that Ahishtam Janma Jayat Punar Jayat. How is the business of your self-realization going on? And Srila Prabhupada quotes this various times, that this should be the standard inquiry when we meet each other for the first time. How is your Krishna consciousness going on? Otherwise, in another place, Prabhupada mentions that nowadays the standard has become high when we meet each other. In Hindi, high means high. You know, why have I seen you? Why did I come and meet you? Like that. But when we meet each other, the Krishna conscious or Vedic perspective is we are concerned with each other's spiritual progress. And that is the basis for relationships. And although Maharaj Dasharath was such a great king, he was inquiring from Vishwamitra Muni, how is your main business of becoming freed from the influence of birth and death proceeding? And how can I serve you? How can I please you? And Maharaj Dasharath says that, my dear Vishwamitra Muni, your presence in my palace is just like nectar which counteracts the influence of poison. Just like profuse rainfall after a long period of drought. I feel as happy as a man who has received a child after being childless for a very long period of time. I feel as if I have found a great treasure. Please tell me, how can I please you and satisfy your desires? I promise to fulfill any desire which you may have. And Vishwamitra Muni reveals to him that, my dear Dasharath, as far as I am concerned, I do not have any specific desire. We have been performing sacrifices and yajnas, and in our ashram there is a big problem. There are rakshasas who come and interrupt our sacrifice and yajna. They pass stool and urine and throw all kinds of horrible things from top, and they defile this yajna, defile this sacrifice. Therefore, anyone who interrupts and pollutes and creates problem in the execution of sacrifice is a rakshasa. And in Kali Yuga, the sacrifice is Sankirtan Yajna. So anyone who interrupts anyone else's individual Sankirtan Yajna or the mission of Sankirtan Yajna is a rakshasa in one sense. And therefore, we may either create disturbance, the equivalent of pus, stool and urine which these rakshasas were throwing from top is in the form of blasphemy and criticism, and all of this is like stool coming out from the mouth. And therefore, individually and collectively, if we indulge in these kind of activities, it is equivalent to all of these rakshasas like Marich and Subahu, who are just throwing all these inauspicious items from top and interrupting the execution of this of the yajna. And therefore, Vishwamitra Muni was greatly disturbed. And the nature of the Brahman is he does not retaliate, and he depends on Kshatriya to help. And therefore Vishwamitra Muni had come to take shelter of Maharaj Dasharath and told him that, my dear king, you have with you Lord Ram, and therefore I request you to please give me your son Ram and Lakshman so that they can come with me and kill these horrible demons and rakshasas. As soon as Maharaj Dasharath heard this, his heart was completely crushed. His heart was palpitating, and he expressed his concern to Vishwamitra Muni. And he said, my dear Vishwamitra Muni, you are requesting me to give Ram to you for 10 days. I cannot live without him even for one moment. And Ram is only a child, and he has not even learned how to fight with all of these weapons. His education is incomplete. And you want him to fight against all these big, big demons? Who are these demons? And Vishwamitra Muni said, the king of the demons is Ravan, but he does not always appear. He sends his assistants most of the time. But maybe he may have to fight against Ravan also. And hearing this, Dasharath Maharaj became even more concerned. And Dasharath Maharaj said, as far as fighting these demons is concerned, why do you want Ram to go? I volunteer. I will come along with a huge army, and I will fight with all of these demons. But please, do not take Ram, because he is such a small child. He cannot fight with these demons. It's impossible. And as soon as Vishwamitra Muni heard this, he became angry. And he started shouting at the top of his voice, "What kind of a king are you? In this entire dynasty of this clan, in Raghu Vamsha, this kind of insult has never been done before. You have promised to me that you will give me, fulfill all my desires, and I am putting forward my desires to you, and you are saying no? For this, your entire dynasty, your entire family is going to be ruined." And as soon as he uttered this curse, the whole earth trembled, and the power of Vishwamitra Muni's anger was such that all the demigods and heavenly planets also started trembling. And Vasishtha Muni, who was there right next to Maharaj Dasharath, came and whispered in Dasharath Maharaj's ear that, "Please, you have to fulfill his desires, otherwise all of us will be destroyed. Plus, you should know, Vishwamitra Muni was already a Kshatriya before. He has the power to kill all of these demons, but he does not want to forego his Brahminical power. Plus, he has received very powerful weapons from Lord Shiva. And in case of emergency, he will always give it to Lord Ram and Lakshman. In fact, Ram and Lakshman will gain more weapons if they go to Vishwamitra. So you do not have to worry about their security." So when Dasharath Maharaj heard this, he was pacified. And he felt, okay, so Ram and Lakshman will be secure. And then he agreed to release Ram and Lakshman to go along with Vishwamitra Muni. So Vishwamitra Muni took Ram and Lakshman along with him. And then they traveled through all the various provinces from Ayodhya to the ashram of Vishwamitra Muni. And Ramayana describes in great detail the travel of Lord Ram and Lakshman along with Vishwamitra Muni through these forests. And they visit so many holy places. Lord Ram is inquisitive and interested to know about the glories of all these holy places. And Vishwamitra Muni explains in detail the glories of these places. And during this travel, they come across the demoness Tataka. And Lord Ram, with his flaming arrows, kills this demoness Tataka and liberates her. And they come across in the ashram of Vishwamitra Muni these two very powerful huge demons, Marich and Subahu. So when Vishwamitra Muni is performing the sacrifice, he tells Ram and Lakshman to provide protection. For the first 10 days of the sacrifice, nothing happens. Then, when the time for tasting the nectar comes, suddenly Marich and Subahu, they come. And Lord Ram is ready with his weapons. But he also knows that the time is not ripe for Marich to be killed, because Marich has to perform some service in future as part of my Leela. So Lord Ram just takes his arrow and shoots his arrow in a very controlled fashion, and that arrow pierces Marich in his chest and just throws him across the ocean 800 miles. And Marich is completely bewildered because he had never received such a blow before. But the other demon friend, Subahu, he is killed instantly. And then Ram and Lakshman, they also, before they enter into ashram of Vishwamitra Muni, the famous pastime when Lord Ram comes to the ashram of Gautama Rishi, and there is this great devotee Ahalya who has taken the form of a stone. And Lord Ram, with his lotus feet, places his lotus feet upon this stone, and by the power of the dust of his lotus feet, Ahalya is again rejuvenated, regains her form. And thus the acharyas give purport that as soon as the Supreme Lord places his divine lotus feet in our lives will get transformed. And in this way, the Supreme Lord is assisting Vishwamitra Muni. And then Vishwamitra Muni takes Ram and Lakshman to the great city of Mithila. So now tomorrow we will discuss when Ram and Lakshman travel with Vishwamitra Muni to Mithila, what happens in the courtroom of Janaka. And then from this point onwards, we come to the stage of Ayodhya Kanda. This is like the interface between Bala Kanda and Ayodhya Kanda, and that we will discuss tomorrow morning. Jai Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki, Shri Ram Navami Maha Mahotsav Ki, శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి, శ్రీ రాధా గోకులానంద్ జీకి ఇతాయి గో ప్రేమానందే.